Hey, Mr. One Stop. I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle,
the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. I'm your record dealer, Ben Schulman.
And I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict.
And how are you, my dear teacher friend, on this, I believe it is the first day of autumn today.
Is it really?
I think so. Oh. I might be making that up, but is it not the 21st?
Are we?
I think so.
Well, let me check. Yeah, we are the 21st.
Wow. End of summer blowout. I don't even know what that means. But I guess that means every record I'm playing for you is something I obtained during the summer, so it really is an end-of-summer blowout.
Oh, can't wait.
And end-of-summer means you're back.
I'm back at school.
At school. À l'école. How's that going?
Well, you know how usually...
this podcast as a platform to... as a free therapy session? Yeah, I do know.
You know how... there's usually, when you start school as a teacher, there's a honeymoon period when the students are usually well-behaved, kind of shy.
They don't know how to manipulate you yet.
They don't. They're testing you out. And there's usually sometimes a week, 2 weeks. It can go even longer sometimes. And at one point, they just, you know, start being their... you know, pre-adolescent selves.
Because they're grade five, right?
Sixth.
Sixth grade.
Yes,
because we say grade six, but our American listeners would say sixth grade.
They're between, 10 and 12,
basically. Yeah, the age where you really become a shit disturber.
You said it.
I said it.
So, not only was the honeymoon very short... there was no honeymoon period.
Oh.
At all. This is a first in my career. So I just started my 28th year as a teacher.
Wow.
And this is a first. I threw a student out on the first day.
Really? That's never happened in 28 years?
On the first day?
Wow.
Never.
Well, is it possible that the honeymoon phase didn't happen because you've had a lot of these students before? Because of the fifth, sixth? Because don't you do both?
That was last year.
Okay, so right. These are all new kids.
What we call looping. So I had like fifth and sixth grade. So
right.
They were looping in my own class. No, this is a brand new cohort. Never had them before.
Jeez.
On the first day.
They came in fighting.
And there was one student... for the first 3 weeks, he spent only one full day in my class.
Wow, he sounds great. I was a shit disturber in school, but I was never that bad. I mean, what do you have to do to be thrown out of class every day?
The last thing he did, and I'm not going to use a bleep. So I'm actually going to tell you what he actually said.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat's about to swear on the podcast.
And this is a first. I've never been told this before. So he said, Nick Tamar. So basically is go fuck your mother.
Oh, that's so sweet. How special.
I've never... this is the baddest insult a student ever told me.
Jeez. I've said some savory things in my life, unsavory things, I should say, but I don't think I ever would have, in my wildest dreams, spoken to a teacher like that.
Yeah,
that's pretty
crazy.
Yeah,
and tell them that they're a motherfucker.
Wow, yeah, that's...
he told me that to go to hell, he told me I was an idiot, but that was the last thing.
Yeah. So. I think you need a drink.
Oh, nice segue.
You know what? If you say nice segue, it takes away from the fact that it's a segue.
That's my shtick.
Yeah, I'm aware. Your shtick is stating the obvious, really obviously.
So I have to thank you because you provided the libations for this podcast.
I sure did. I figured, you know, it's a beautiful sunny afternoon. Why not have a nice apple cider? I love apple cider.
I was going to bring out the beers, but because...
I beat you to the punch.
The wife and I just finished a series on Netflix called Easy.
By the Commodores?
I didn't even know. So it doesn't ring a bell?
Easy?
Yeah. So no? There's three seasons. I think it's canceled now because I think the last season was in like 2020 or something.
Okay.
And in the series, there's a bunch of friends that start an illegal brewery in their garage.
Oh, doesn't that happen on the Drew Carey show? Remember that?
Don't they
beer in their garage on that show too? I mean, we're talking 30 years ago. Great show.
So during the while we binge watched it, you know, all I wanted was to drink beer.
Sure.
But yeah, you brought me a La Croix cider. And it's a peach cider. And of course...
And it's a product of Quebec.
So it wouldn't be, you know, one of our drinking episodes without a...
Oh, yeah.
No place I can get some cider. Sitting in the shade with that cool apple cider.
Delicious apples, therefore we have delicious cider. Although yours is a peach flavored one.
Excuse me.
Is it that bad?
No.
Swallow went down the wrong hole?
Exactly.
Oy vey. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it'll just be me for the rest of the episode. Oh, you good?
I think so.
Any tissue?
It's good.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have poisoned Parkipat today. I'm declaring war on the podcast.
Hey, we'll do something we rarely do. We're gonna throw a record on the turntable so I get my voice back.
That's a great idea. Garage or soul? What do you want to start with?
Let's go garage.
Let's go garage. So I've got one for you here. This is a record by a band I guess we're pretty much familiar with, because we're familiar with their song called Dance the Hump. It's a band called The Invictus.
I can see it from here.
Yeah, on the Sahara label, I believe from like Rochester, New York, somewhere in that area, upstate New York. This is the first time I've ever come across a 45 by them that isn't The Hump. It is simply called Do It. And I think you're going to do... it by buying a... Come on, Ben, that was terrible. Anyway, here's the song. Couldn't make that one work.
Hey, my mind over you.
You know, there were a couple of times I looked at your face and saw your little smirks of approval for little kind of drum break thing, a little bit of clapping, a little bit of everything. That was really good, eh?
All of the above.
Yeah, that was one I kept playing and was like, I want to keep it, but I know Pat would like it more than me. So, yeah, you won out. And the other side's pretty good, too. It's called The Hook, which I'm pretty sure is just kind of like an updated version of The Hump.
Probably another dance craze.
Yeah, some crap like that. Pretty cool, though, eh?
And it reminded me, and I'll start with a plug right off the bat. You know, our good friends, the Gruesomes.
Oh, yes.
Are going to be going live in Montreal for the first time in years.
Yeah, when is that? Because when I saw them at Montreal, they were talking about that. John and Bobby had mentioned that, but I don't remember if they had set a date yet.
Yeah, it's late October. It's going to be like a Halloween extravaganza, and I'm going to be the MC.
Oh, I'm going to have to come to that, because I've never seen them play. You know, I've known about them forever. They're friends of the show. They're friends of ours. Yeah. Oh, that's going to be awesome. So you're going to do your shtick from the video there?
From the video. So I'm going to MC
your best Hoss Allen.
And DJ.
Oh, cool.
So John, Bobby, do you think I should put that record into the DJ box and play
I'm going to answer for them. Yes!
That's easy. Perfect.
Yeah, good little record, eh?
Great way to start episode 110.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Wow, we're on episode 110. We've been doing this for a few minutes.
So you listened to the last episodes, because usually you don't listen, but you were a fan for the last one.
I never listened to our episodes, because I lived them. But I do always listen to when you do guest episodes, mainly you and Marty. But last time it was you, Marty, and Al. And, I enjoyed that plenty.
Well, you know that
you and Marty are becoming more and more like a weird married couple. Like it's a little concerning. I would look at your wife over there, and I don't even know. Maybe she's concerned too. But I messaged Al because Al had dedicated a version of Day Tripper to me
right
in the episode you guys did. So I was kind of messaging Al as I was listening to it. And at one point I said to him, I'm like, man, you really were like the third wheel on that. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I wish I could just find someone who loved me that much.
Well, I do, Al. And he does appreciate you a lot, Ben, because he left gifts for you.
Who?
Al.
Oh, come on. He didn't have to do that.
Of course.
He's a real mensch. I really, like, one of the first thing he said to me when we met in person, he just went, Ben, bubala. It's like, oh, yeah, like, I like that guy plenty.
So, what would you expect as a gift from Al?
I don't know. Something that says Soulfinger New York City on it.
Ah, that's not a bad idea.
I have a shirt and I have stickers. And
well, you know, what do we all love?
Food.
All right. Okay. So you
I was going to say records, but it's just like, it's probably food.
Well, it's both.
Uh-oh. Is it a hot dog that looks like a record, or a record that looks like a hot dog?
Do you want the food-related item or the record-related item?
Well, naturally, I'm going to go with the record one.
Okay, there's two.
Ooh. So, wow. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to send him something.
He has a theme like I like to have. And he gave me two records.
You're a pretty themey guy. You got a lot of themes, you.
Well, he gave me a bunch of records like off air last time. And we played like an ad, and we played a record on the last episode.
All right.
So, here.
Wow.
I don't know if you have those, but guess the theme.
I see it is a Four Lads from Liverpool theme. So, Beatlemania by the Jones Boys featuring Bongo Pete. Wow, that's kind of cool. On the Sabra label, and Beatle Stomp by the Exterminators. Oh, that sounds... Oh, and the B-side is called Beatle Wig Party.
Should we play one?
Yeah, we should definitely play one. I want to hear what Beatle Stomp by the Exterminator sounds like. Wow, man. Ow, what a guy.
So slap that baby on the turntable.
I'm going to start the trade program. Al, if you're listening to this, I'm going to send you some 45s. Just remind me your address, and we'll get some stuff out to you. So on the Golden West label, looks like a West Coast thing. Oh, yeah, that was really fun listening to you guys make fun of me, be like, you know, Ben will look at a record and go, oh, it was pressed on January 3rd, 1964, while Berry Gordy was wearing a pink T-shirt, driving a brand new... Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I'm sure that's probably what I sound like, so good job. Anyway, so on the Golden West label, Beatle Stomp by the Exterminators by way of our very good friend and the hot dog king himself, Al Atchison. Let's hear this.
Like a surf band that didn't want to sound surf because they were, you know, playing to the Beatles.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Well, obviously, it sounds a lot like The Shadows, like Cliff Richard's backing band, like that kind of very typical British instrumental stuff from like 62, 63.
Oh, it sounds more surf than that.
But it also... No,
West Coast.
The Ventures. God, no. I disagree completely. It sounds... It's a band that probably on their day-to-day sounded like The Ventures, but here they sound like they're doing like a Freddy and the Dreamers backing track. This isn't... I wouldn't call that surf. I mean, like, yeah, it's got like reverby guitar, but... there was this one little melody where it kept going, and I was like, where do I know that from? And there was a Lennon-McCartney song that the Beatles recorded but never released called Hello, Little Girl, that a band called The Foremost recorded, and it came out in England, like probably on Parlophone, but it came out in North America on Atco, and it goes something like, and I'm so glad, and she's mine. So, like, that's the same melody, so that's obviously where they got that from. And I also realized...
Do the Foremost do, like a cover of Fortune Teller or something? I think I have.
But I don't think it's the same group.
Okay.
Yeah. So this Foremost, yeah, they did this little Hello Little Girl, which was this kind of thrown away Lennon McCartney thing. And then they also do a version of Here, There, and Everywhere that came out on Capitol a little bit later in the 60s. And then it also dawned on me, Exterminators, Beetle Stomp, because, like, they're exterminating the bug.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Well, but I disagree. Like, I think they sound surfy.
There's definitely surfy elements to it, but I find musically it's, like, it sounds very much like what those instrumental, like, UK shadowsy bands were doing, which I guess you could say some of that stuff is surfy, but to me this sounded like Merseybeat Liverpool music without lyrics. I'm just, can we quickly just hear the other side? Beetle Wig Party.
Let's do it.
Let's just quickly hear that. Are our mics on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, this started off surfy. We're going to dance till the sun comes up at the Beetle Wig Party. Okay, that's...
That is surf music, my friend.
That was... Yeah, it's surfy with a real hint of... it's like surf integrated with that Liverpool sound, for sure.
That's exactly what I said from the get-go.
Okay. You're in a mood today. Anyway, thank you, Al, for those generous gifts. I'll have to send you something.
We're not done. There's still the food-related gift.
It's like a 5-week-old hot dog.
No. So what do you see?
I see a black T-shirt.
And I'm flipping it over?
I see nice! A Waffle House shirt. And is it the right size?
If not, I'll take it.
Probably. Let's find out. I can't see. It is the right size. Wow. I've really come into my own now, haven't I? Wow, Al, come on. What a nice... That's, like, unbelievable. What a nice guy.
Oh, he sure is.
You didn't have to do that, Al. Anyway, Al, I owe you a T-shirt, which don't count on it, but I owe you some records. Just get him a custom shirt of, like, a smiling hot dog or something.
You know who else is a nice guy? Well... A nice couple I know. I just received this in the mail this week.
From?
And I'm just going to show it to you.
Oh. I know that couple. Ben and Taryn.
I received a thank you note.
Yeah.
From my favorite newlyweds.
Yeah, good thing we were like 4 months late on sending out the thank you cards. But at least we did it.
Well...
I don't know. I had my mother, who was definitely listening to this, yelling at me to get them done. We kept kind of putting it off. And
it's good enough for me to write to read on air.
Oh.
So it says, Pat and Nat, couldn't imagine the big day without you guys. We had such a ball. Pat, you're the best DJ in the world, and I don't care who knows it. Love you guys. So, hey.
Well, I do think you were the best DJ. You're all anyone freaking talked about from that wedding.
I wasn't going to miss this occasion to, you know, flatter my own ego.
I wouldn't expect any less from you. I wouldn't expect any less from you.
So thank you, Ben. Well, thank you for that note. Thank you, Taryn.
Thank you. I mean, you know what? It's pretty cool now that for the rest of our lives, we'll be like, I DJ'd his wedding and he DJ'd mine. Oh, 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 oh. And for some reason, we'll say it like that. But yeah, no, it's like, you know, we've mentioned several times before. It's like anytime I talk to someone about my wedding, they're like, oh, my God, Pat was so good. I'm like, yeah, that was the point.
Go on. No, thank you. Sincerely.
It was fun.
That was a very nice touch.
It was a blast. So where were we? So I listened to the episode that you guys did. It was a lot of fun. I liked all the tracks. It was cool that you featured stuff that you guys had got from Scott. By the way, shout out to Scott Boyko, another great guy that had you ever met Scott before?
Of course.
Yeah, at Keystone, right? Yeah, he puts that on.
In Lancaster.
Yeah, he was a ball, and, like, you know, just his funny story of staying in this, like, dumpy motel that, like, we all immediately knew where it was, and he got like locked out of his room or something, and I was like,
he lost his key.
Yeah, he lost his key, and he had to like sleep in his car or something. And I was like, oh, this is the most like bad story. Like, all we needed was for him to like fall down and like chip a tooth or something, and it really would have been a Parka Pat original. But yeah, it was great to meet him. It was a ton of fun. Yeah, and like the DJing at Cafe Got Soul with Carl, and getting to meet Chaz and Ivy. They were super nice. I came out to, what the hell's that place called again?
Turbo House.
Turbo House, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a ton of fun. I got really excited because it was my birthday. It was about to be my birthday. And like right at midnight, I forget who was spinning. Probably you.
I think I am. Yeah.
Put on Sweeter Than the Day Before.
It was between two sets. I was finishing mine.
But I guess it was you who played Sweeter Than the Day Before by the Valentinos. And I was like, oh, this is the perfect song to turn 31 to, because that's like my, that has become, I've always loved that song, and I first heard it from you when you got a copy, I don't know, 10 years ago, and I finally got one myself not that long ago, and I paid up for it, and it's like, that's one of my favorite records ever. I love that song.
It's one of those records you never get tired of listening.
Yeah, there's not a lot of soul records that sound that like loud. It like punches you in the face. I find just everything about it is so like
The harmonies. And,
fantastic. All right, we don't even need to play any more records. We can just think about that.
You know what?
What?
Well, no. Here. You asked me if I wanted garage or soul before.
Yeah.
So
well, we did a garage one.
I got pumped up talking about the Valentinos. So do you have a soul record?
I do have a soul one. This is a record on the Scepter label called Lost Love by Irma and the Fascinators. So my
is it Irma Thomas?
No, it's just Irma. I don't know anything about her. I should have done some research, but no, Irma and the Fascinators, I believe maybe they only made one other 45, but anyhow, so it's on the Scepter label. I got this my last morning when I was down in Maine, which is already like a month ago. I was on my way at 6:30 in the morning because, you know, like a normal person who goes on vacation, I wake up before my entire family does and find the old cronies who will meet me at 6 a.m. to sell me records. So I'm going to this guy's place where I had been there last summer, and he's like, oh, I have more stuff, so stuff you're really going to like. It's a complete pile of crap. But by chance, before I fell asleep the night before, I had found an ad for a guy. He was over in New Hampshire, but still, it was like only like 20 minutes away from where I was, and he had like 50 45s on the Scepter label and 40 45s on Wand. And I was like, Knick Knack Patty Whack by Lou, I'm like freaking out.
I think you did a post on Instagram.
I may have talked about it briefly with you. So he sends me a list, and I'm like sitting in my car going through, and I'm just like, ooh, great titles on here. Anyway, I ended up making a deal with the guy. I paid a pretty penny for them, but still, regardless, I mean, this was in there, so obviously it wasn't a bad deal. And it was cool. The guy was telling me that he was a DJ, like, in, or was it like Dover, New Hampshire, like in the early 60s, used to do sock hops. And he's like, yeah, the record companies would just send me stuff. So they all have, like, I don't know if this one has it on the other side. Yeah, like it says, like, April 65. Like, he always wrote the date and pen on them. So it was kind of cool to get them directly from someone who used them.
So when we see on a 45, when it says DJ copy,
yeah,
it was really meant for DJs.
Well, what's funny is that
it's not even a
white print, it's a regular stock copy, which is so weird to think that they made these white label ones. I think the white label ones were really for radio stations.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, this was more like, you know, because I've known a couple of guys over the years now, you know, just in all the running around and buying records, where it's like when they would DJ in the 60s, if they were just guys who had like a, you know, they had a business card, they did sock hops and stuff, the record labels would send them records, but they weren't DJ copies. They would just send them, you know, whatever. Because again, it's like you figure at the time, it's like these, it didn't cost them anything to just throw this, mail him 20 records. You know, they had inventory, which is crazy to think about that these were essentially valueless at the time, which is like, it's kind of weird to think about.
It just reminded me, one of the gifts Al gave me was a box and a mailer, basically.
Yeah.
And it said, I think, like 8 records for 79 cents.
Yeah.
Just imagine.
Well, our good friend Nick, who owns Beatnik, he always talks about Beatnik here in Montreal, 3770 St. Denis, if you're ever in town. He always tells me that when he was a kid at like Woolworths or, you know,
those bags, they used to have these plastic bags.
You could get 10 45s for a dollar. They were in a bag, but you could only see the one on either end. And like he said, he was like, the thing is with those bags, it was all just small label Soul stuff that couldn't sell. It didn't sell in the States. They all had punch holes. And it's like, there were just thousands of these. I was like, oh my God, can you even imagine? That's probably why. And he still, and even to this day, he's got a massive 45 collection. He still has some of those from then. So kind of crazy to think about. So yeah, so this came directly from
a
guy who had it for the last 55 years. And it was cool. I go to this guy's house and he collects old cameras and he has like cameras from the Civil War and he has like original prints from back then. It was really cool. He was a really interesting guy. So I got all the Scepter and Wand 45s. Unfortunately, there was no Knick-Knack Paddywhack by Lou Lawton, but a girl can dream. But there was a copy of this, which fortunately I already have. So, congratulations. You will now be the new owner of Lost Love by Irma and the Fascinators. I think.
I'll be the third owner.
Yeah, technically. But we'll say you're the second.
Getting into that sound more and more.
How would you describe, like, what do you mean by that? What sound?
Well, more of the mid-tempo.
Yeah.
You know, slightly into the R&B. You know, one foot into the R&B, one foot in soul.
Because to me, this is like that it's like half of it's like a little R&B, it's a little soul, it's kind of like a You're No Good kind of song, and like minor, it's got that like minor key thing going on, so it's like a little popcorn-y.
Yep,
it's just so good.
And you know you like it when you I can picture myself spinning this Saturday. I'm doing a flea market.
That's become like kind of a regular gig for you.
Yeah, once a month.
That's cool.
I'm doing it.
That's a perfect record for just
perfect
kind of,
record.
Because it's not too in your face. It's like it's the kind of thing that I could picture people shopping and kind of just bop
yeah.
to. You know,
yeah, grooving and moving and
check it out too. Turn it around with the original sleeve. It's like This is basically a brand new. The guy probably never played it, so
he did put an X on the right side.
Yeah, the other side's decent too. It's kind of like a good northerny slower thing. But it's funny, like you were saying, like getting into this, where it's like, I don't know, if I played this for you 10 years ago, I don't think you would have taken it.
Probably
it's amazing.
Not.
Yeah, it's amazing how things change. And I mean, I'll foreshadow to the next one I'm going to play you. The next one that's coming up, it's something I was listening to it again this morning, and I was like, I would have never given up a record like this like 6-7 years ago. It's such a me record, but I think it's now it's really you. But we'll get to it.
Right now?
All right, fair enough.
Because now, you...
Well, might as well go 3 for 3. So this is a dance
craze.
It's a dance craze record on the Top Notch label. The artist's name is just Coye. C-O-Y-E. And it's called Hopscotch.
Oh.
And it's kind of weird.
Well, you sold me a hopscotch record before, I believe.
I don't think it would have been
Coye.
If you want to just check, so
C-O-Y-E. That's gonna pop up right away.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be easy to find out. But I'm curious to know. Because I have a hop. Okay, so C-O-Y-E I don't have.
Yeah.
But let me check.
Oh, you definitely... I'm sure you have something called the hopscotch. Or this is just called Hopscotch.
I'm pretty sure. Let's see who... No, it doesn't... No.
And the songwriter on this is C. Botner, which is probably him. Very nondescript looking record, and funny enough, I found this in a record store, and it was just kind of there, and I was like,
goes to show that you can still find good stuff.
Yeah, and you can find stuff anywhere. So again, like I said, I was listening to this again this morning, and I was like, this was so my kind of like mess aroundy thing, you know, when I was doing that for all those years, which is crazy to think that's already like 10 years ago. This was so something that I would have hung on to. I would have never let you have this. But then again, my thing with records always, though, it's like I always think back to Milk That Cow by Esau, which I remember like, I'll never get rid of this record. And you're like, Ben, you owe me $300. I'm like, record? So, yeah, I think you'll know exactly what I mean. So I think we'll be 3 for 3 here. I hope you have some stuff to feature. I always love when you play me records.
Okay,
too,
I'll
we'll do some of yours right after. Up. We'll do an ad break. We're getting there. So here is Hopscotch by Coye. Coye with an E.
Hey, little girl, come on and dance with me. This God, yeah, 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 the hop this God, yeah, 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 the hop this get close to the ground. Come on, come, 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 come,
See what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize hopscotch was in two words.
Just in general?
No, I thought it, when I typed it in to see if I had it, I put it all in one word.
I mean, I guess sometimes, maybe, but no, it would be two words, yeah. What's hopscotch in French?
I have no idea.
Isn't that like a thing? Like,
that's a game, right?
Yeah.
It's a skipping game.
It's like with the, like on the floor, with like outside, like in the schoolyard with like chalk, you know, like the 1, 2, 3.
Oh, four, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Is there a name for that in French?
What's that in French?
Nikki, do you know? What? Hopscotch in French.
When? Oh, la marelle, that's right.
La marelle?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
What's a girl's thing? Come on.
I don't know. Coy's singing about it. Well, maybe he's trying to get the girls to do the hopscotch, which, you know, gets them in that dancing mood.
Yeah, you throw that little rock on the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Schoolyard stuff. Hey, you're a teacher, you know, so it's like a schoolyard dance.
I don't remember the last time I saw students play hopscotch.
Oh, I think it's gone out of fashion. What was that other game? I remember when I was a kid. There's a game where you draw a square you draw like a square with chalk, and like there's four squares. Maybe it was just called four squares. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the website.
Never mind. Moving on. Yeah, so this is one of those records. Totally love it, but I'm listening to it and I'm like, this is gonna end up getting buried in a box right now. I was doing some organization this afternoon.
I love when you do that.
It works to your benefit because, my God, it's just, for the longest time, you know, when I was younger, when I was living at my parents' house and as a teenager, it's like, I always knew when I found a record, I'm like, oh, I have another one. I know where to find it. Now, I'll like clean up and I'm like, why do I have six of these? Like, literally, there are times it happens where I'm like, I have six. It's been a few years now where it's gotten to a point where it's just like, I don't know what I have anymore. But I'm working on it, and I was just talking with my brother out in Vancouver. Shout out to Sam. He's going to try and help me build some more shelves when he comes in around Christmas, because I need more shelves, because I don't know, everything's in boxes. It's
you just showed me a photo of
the Canadian label wall.
All your Canadian 45s. And what's the last count? Like 8,000?
There must be 8,000.
Wow.
And those are just the ones that are alphabetized.
Jeez.
I think, but again, like I do a pretty good job of adding... That's what I'm working on right now. It's like I had about three of those like white boxes full that are alphabetized, and I'm slowly putting them in. And like so far, maybe I have like there's like 20 that I already have, but a lot of it is stuff that like you wouldn't care about, because like I said, I kind of started getting carried away with that, where it's like now that like the label's all there together. It's like I think I have 445s just on the quality label, and now it's like when I find one I don't even like that much, it's like, well, I got to put it with the other ones, right? Because I'm a sick person.
Well, that's the collector speaking, not the, you know, music lover or the DJ.
Well,
because we have both in us.
And
I'm a collector myself.
Well, and that's the thing. You're a collector of, I mean,
I'm many things
sitting here. And I mean, my God, the amount of things you collect. But doing it this way reminds me of like my dad. Because when I was a kid, my dad had always collected the old Lesney matchboxes, like the toy cars, and like you can go to my dad and be like, hey Gary, which one's number 72, and he'd be like, oh, that's the Volkswagen bus, or what's number 53, he'd be like, oh, that's the Morris Minor. He knew every number for every car, and he had a shelf with them on them, and he had like a lot of the little boxes. So it's like, I think that kind of like there's something about cataloging stuff that's just like really, I find it very relaxing, like just putting things in alphabetical order and just kind of having them. Because now it's like if I find a rare Canadian record and I know, okay, I have to go find mine, it takes 2 seconds. An American record? Pfft, forget about it. It'll take 6 months until I see my copy again.
So what's the English expression? You didn't fall far from the apple tree?
The apple didn't fall far from the tree. What do you say in French? La pomme qui tombe de la pear. I don't know. Something like that. But yeah, I like the... I find it relaxing, and I mean, I will find it relaxing eventually when I work on all my American records, but what will prompt me to really get on that is if I have new shelves built and I have place to put them, then I'll start alphabetizing everything.
For me, they're all going into 45 boxes, so I just collect the boxes, and then
it's amazing that you have that many boxes.
Yeah, now it's in the hundreds.
Yeah, wow. And so I still have a ton sitting on my stairs of like plastic ones, like those very Quebec ones there, like the mm-hmm. yellow and orange ones. I still have ton. I need to give them to you at some point. They've been sitting on my stairs for 2 years.
I'll take it.
Well, yeah, we'll figure it out.
Well, here's an update for the addicts out there. So you visited my basement prior to pressing record for this 110th episode. So my basement was flooded this summer.
That's right.
And two steps went into... my wife is showing Ben a...
How do you say the apple never falls far from the tree in French?
So?
Okay, this is... Les chiens ne font pas des chats. What? The dog?
Well, because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
The dog doesn't sound like a cat?
No, they don't.
They're not cats.
Dogs don't birth cats.
Dogs don't birth cats.
So, because like it's like the father, apple like doesn't son.
Far. Yeah, like
apple
father like
far, far from the tree.
Man.
So yeah.
You Francophones really take it to another level. It's always something about a chien and a chat.
Well, it's raining cats and dogs.
It's
what are you talking about?
Cats.
So you did visit the basement.
I did. It looks like a
so there was construction two, zone. There was two steps to the madness downstairs. First step, a moving company just walked in, boxed everything, and moved it out.
Did you supervise them while they were boxing the records? Because I would be freaking out.
I did pay him a visit, but I was working at the same time. Right. So it was
it's probably better that way because I would have been like, hey, buddy, what are you doing?
It was during my lunch break.
Right.
So I did peek. And
right.
made my presence known.
Sure.
But so I had to, you know, think in advance what records would I need in probably the next 6 months. So
that's right. Yeah.
So you see, you know, record boxes at the top of the stairs here. There's some,
you know what,
storage
considering some, what's going on downstairs, it's still very neat and organized up here.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to get rid of the the litter boxes, the cat's litter boxes. But anyway, so second step was a demolition crew walked in, ripped the floor out, and about a foot of the bottom of every wall downstairs.
What so you a got pain
to,
in the
you,
ass.
You got to see that. So what was your first impression?
Yeah, this sucks.
Pretty
I mean,
much.
I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, it just looks like it's weird to see that basement so bare bones. But, I mean, I know you'll
usually
have it
packed.
Yeah, but you'll have it back. Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, your Expo 67 bathroom and, you know, all the fun stuff. You know, we were saying you do collect all kinds of stuff, as I always sit here and stare at the tiki mugs and they're looking directly into my soul. But yeah, I mean, so when are they coming next?
We don't know. Yeah. You know, that's what construction is. You know, you never know. So yeah, I have an unfinished basement and records scattered here and there and in a storage locker. So somewhere that I don't have access to really.
Yeah.
So I had to plan ahead, but you know, I can always count on you to bring me new stuff.
That's true. So far you've gotten 3 new ones that I think
is it my turn?
I think it is your turn.
So we did pay homage to our friend.
I'm sure you've gotten all kinds of stuff that I've yet to hear since our last it's been a while since we've been together.
A few. So we're gonna go on paying homage to our friend Al again.
Sure.
Because he's the one who flagged me this record.
Cool.
And he goes, hey, do you have this? And there's no doubt in my mind, if you ever saw this record, you buy it without even listening to it.
Of course.
Just
I do that with a lot of records anyway that sucks. So,
well,
this is one of those like...
It's like perfect example.
Lights and sirens going off.
So I'm going to read you my little description of my sticker. Obscure R&B rocker from Texas. And it sells male singer because it's from, let me see, Carol? Is that it? So you never know with Carol. Yeah, You never know if Carol is a man or a woman.
I guess so. Yeah.
It's a rare one. I don't even think it's on YouTube. So that's how,
you know how we feel
rare
about
and
things.
Obscure.
Fonsol, you better be listening.
He's going to like it.
He probably has it.
It's an R&B rocker.
Cool.
So just read the title and let me know what you think.
The GM Record Co. from Gladewater, Texas. Don't monkey with somebody else's monkey. Yeah. By Carol, in brackets, Wild Red Pegasus, with Ray and Red and the Bystones. It's a mouthful.
How obscure is that?
I never heard of it. But you can never hear of all these things. You know, it's like, it's kind of like when we play Name That Fake Moldy Oldie. It's like, you hand me a record sometimes, and it's just like, we may have never known about this one ever. You know, that's the endless fun with this. It's like, it's not like there's like a finite amount. It's never ending. You know, even someone like, you know, we always talk about our buddy Michael Robinson there, who's probably one of the leading collectors of these obscure R&B and soul and garage 45s. He'll even tell you he's never seen them all. You know, you can't. It's kind of crazy how many they made.
That title is just like made for the two of us.
And I'm wondering, is it bluesy or is it like, is it fast or?
Let's hear it.
All right, so don't monkey with somebody else's monkey. Now you remember, don't you monkey with your monkey's uncle's monkey's monkey. You hear that, monkey?
Hey, there's monkey over here and monkeys over there.
It's very easy to
monkeys everywhere.
It's really easy to dance to.
This is so us that
it's really killer.
Yeah. Words are missing.
Well, again, that's another one. If I had found it, I would have brought it for you, but yeah, it's again, it's not too fast, it's not too slow. I think it would get like, I could really see that going well with a dance floor, especially when it has that like, your monkey over here, your monkey over here. Like, I find records like that where it's like, it kind of gives you direction, you know, like it's that hippie shake, you know, you shake it to the left and it to the right. People like direction. Come on, everybody, and clap your hands, right? You know.
And I would probably be, you know, screaming banana during the whole
thing. You know, didn't you get little ducks? Now you should get like bananas to throw at people. Now you can just have an arsenal. So when you go to DJ, you bring your little record box, but you also bring all of your crap to throw at people.
Well, thanks, Al, for flagging this one. But to be honest, I know the seller. It's a seller I do business with. I would have found it on my own, but knowing that you thought of me, Al, just makes it even more special.
Yeah, really great record. Al's got, I think it was Al too. Like that one time, when you were in New York, you had him on the show, and he played a 45. And I remember I was driving and I was listening to you guys, and I pulled over and I bought it right away. I think it was.
Something
about coleslaw.
Coleslaw.
Or maybe. Shit, it was a yellow label. It's great that it's a record. I liked it so much, I pulled over and bought it, and I can't remember what it's called. Hot potato salad or a potato salad.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that was good. I remember he played that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I pulled over. I remember I was on the 20. I pulled over and bought it.
Well, while the record was playing, my wife leaned over and she was preparing to go and walk the dog. She's leaving as we speak. And she went, just discuss on the podcast what you want to have for supper, because I have no idea. So, Ben, we haven't talked about food enough.
Oh, my God.
So, what should I get for supper?
You're not cooking?
I'm open. Not.
I mean, you know what I'm going to say, because I'm in this part of the world, so I would go to AA's, get a poutine. I feel like you're done with that for a little while.
What? Never?
I don't know, after the Montreal weekend.
But wait, are you going to pick something up on your way back? Because we're around supper time.
No,
right,
I'm making spaghetti when I get home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Taryn's going to come home from work, and then she's got to go in early tomorrow, so I'm going to have something prepared anyway.
So, do you make your own sauce?
Taryn made the sauce, actually, this time. Taryn makes the sauce. It's Bolognese. Her mother's recipe, basically, yeah. Mm. With a lot of mushrooms in it. It's very nice. Good. Yeah. Oh. Maybe you should have spaghetti.
Yeah, maybe.
Spaghetti and Caesar salad.
Well, it's going to be at Water Market. There's a place where they do like homemade type of spaghetti sauce, but with big meatballs.
Better go get yourself some.
No, it's going to be closed by the time we finish.
Well, there's other spaghetti options.
Well,
what about from like Green Spot down the street? They probably make a mean spaghetti.
Well,
a smoked meat spaghetti.
That's what I had on the first night, on Thursday night, when Marty got into town.
I think I've only ever had it once. It's really good.
It's very good.
Yeah. Hey, look, we've been talking about food now.
Okay, so now I have an idea what I'm.
Well, now that we're kind of on the topic of things you put in your mouth and chew, we have a sponsor for today's episode. Ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor today is Adam's Sour Fruit Gum. Great gum. Never heard of it in my life. But they are our sponsor for today, so why don't we give the Adam's Sour Fruit Gum a spin?
Hey, kids, come on, get with it. It's a new taste.
You'd better believe it. New Adam's Sour Fruit Gum is for swingers. Fresh and tangy with a taste that's alive. Adam's is the sour gum, not sweet and sugary like other stick gum. So get with a new taste. Try Adam's Sour Fruit Gum. Sour cherry, sour orange, sour lemon. 8 big refreshing sticks for a dime. New Adam's Sour Fruit Gum.
It's a new taste.
So for the addicts out there, in case you don't know, we're always playing ads off a 7-inch.
I think by this point they know that.
Well, I don't know if you're a new addict. I'm always hoping we're hooking new people.
New people. Well, you're lucky, listeners, because I played the English version, because the B-side is the same thing, but it's the French version of the ad. So they must have been a Quebec or a Montreal-based company to have it in English and French.
Because usually I provide the ads, so you brought this one.
Well, this is a gift to our growing collection.
Our archive.
Produced for Adams Brands by the Baker Advertising Agency Limited. And there is another track, so it's an EP. There's four tracks. So on the other side is the French version of what we just heard, and then there's a piece of instrumental music just called Sour Gum Music, which maybe we'll feature at the end of the episode.
That's what I usually do as the editor of this podcast.
All right.
I sure will. All right.
Okay. Well, we've played some records. What are we doing next? Do you want to hear another one?
Of course. You need to sell me another one.
This one's been kicking around the box for a while.
I know that label. I
believe it's an instrumental, maybe with a little bit of hooting and hollering, on the Paula record label from, how do you pronounce it again? Shreveport, Louisiana, way down south. This is an instrumentally kind of thing called The Hen.
Hmm.
Not the chicken, not the rooster. Oh, you have to check?
It sounds familiar. Who is it from?
Louis Chachere. Probably a nice Cajun boy, Louis Chachere.
No. And by the way, the hopscotch.
Yeah.
I do have a record by with that title.
Who's
but
it
it's
by?
By the Kingpins.
Oh, on Federal.
Yes, that's right.
That's good. Yeah, it's a good one. It's not the same song, though. So, yeah, this one's been kicking around.
Another dance craze.
You know, why not? The Hen. I guess that's like the hen's a female chicken, right? Is that how that works? Rooster's a male.
Well, you're the English, the anglophone in this duo.
I don't know. What's a hen in French? We're doing a lot of translations.
Coq et poule.
Coq et poule. Well, here's the pool. The hen.
Well, maybe I'm going to have chicken for supper instead.
Ha! See, there you go. Maybe I've persuaded. I've changed that decision from spaghetti.
Well, way back. Let me see what year I wrote that blog
post. Hang
on a
sec.
That's to go with the chicken?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was back on June 2nd, 2013. I wrote a blog post on Park Avenue.
10 years ago.
Called The Dance Crazes of the 60s, Mods and Rockers Unite.
Well, is that the one you keep adding to?
That's the one. So I went to check while the record was playing, and I have a category of all the dance crazes that are animal related. So the animal dances. So I have a category called Move Like a Mammal. One, Critter Crazes. We spoke about the, beetle stomp.
Sure.
And I have one called Shake a Tail Feather. So in that category, I'm going to add the hen. So in that one, I
quickly name off the ones in there.
Yeah, it's a small category. So I have the ostrich, the duck, the bird, the funky chicken, the chicken scratch, the penguin, the surfing bird, the goose, and the grandma bird.
Ooh, that's a good one. Have you heard how grandma does the bird?
Yeah. And we had a monkey record before. And this one, that category, I titled Prance Like a Primate. So I have the monkey.
You're so creative.
I have the monkey, the Bustin' Monkey, the Karate Monkey, Mickey's Monkey, the Tarzan's Monkey, the Monkey Bird, the Monkey Dog, the Monkey Donkey, the Monkey Hop, the Monkey Jerk, the Monkey Jump, the Monkey Shine, the Monkey Stroll, the Monkey Walk, the Flunky Monkey, the Monkey Wobble, the King Kong's Monkey, the Gorilla, the Bad Baboon, and the Monkey Land.
Okay, well, perfect timing.
Oh, did you find another one?
Well, because now you're about to have Monkey Drums.
Whoa! Hey, that wasn't planned.
No, it wasn't. Great. Should we just go into it?
Let's go into it.
This is another one. Remember we did that a couple episodes back where I played a record without ever listening to it?
That's what?
Yeah, I've never played this. Okay. So it could suck. Maybe it's great. It's Monkey Drums by Jesse Sales and the Waves. So maybe it's surfy.
Well, who's the soul singer Sales? That rings a bell.
Johnny Sales. Definitely
not related.
No. So now that we just went through all those monkey tracks, I feel like, you know, we should probably add Monkey Drums to the list. So let's check this one out, because again, I never even played
Felstead?
It. Felstead record.
Felstead. I don't have anything of that label.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you do. Foot Stomping by the Flares.
Really?
Or Shimmy and Stomp by the Flares. Anyhow, maybe. It's one of those labels, late 50s, early 60s, a lot of kind of middle-of-the-road stuff, some rockabilly, some R&B, but like nothing mind-blowing, but hey, who knows? Monkey Drums, right? This one will be free.
I'm fading it out slowly.
Why, you don't like those? Everybody knew the monkey beat.
You know, some DJs really like that girl group, yeah. You know, sound.
It's just a little too kiddie.
Yeah. It's on the verge of being novelty.
Yeah, I would say it totally is. Well,
but not bad.
Oh, we've heard worse.
Oh, of course we did.
Other one, I think the other one I played last time was also a monkey record. It was called the Flunky Monkey, I think. The one that we had never played, and it was
it's part of my Prance Like a Primate category.
Well, it was terrible.
They can't be all winners, but the rest of the show, you know, yeah, hard to beat.
Really taking a really that, taking a
that other monkey record.
Yeah,
that's a score.
That one's amazing. That's a really cool one. Like you said, it's not even on YouTube. That's shocking.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, if Fonso listens to this episode, it will be.
If he has it, he's going to put it.
Speaking of YouTube, I've slowly but surely here or there have been re-uploading some videos, and I got someone, some random guy, I have no idea who, commented like recently just saying like, oh my God, like I'm so glad to see your videos back up. Like, what happened? And I'm just like, just be glad I'm doing it again, you know, slowly but surely, you know, it was over 1,000 videos and now I think I have, 35.
Well, you know, that Mark Zuckerberg hasn't reinstated my Facebook.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I've noticed a lot of other people have been hacked since friend Ty Gesso, yeah, DJ Ty Gesso from Providence, Rhode Island.
I don't know why you don't just make a new account already.
Because I'm...
I don't know what you're... I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but just like, it ain't coming back, man.
I know, but you know why?
Why?
Because
you're just done.
I don't want to feed the monster. But
the thing is, you can't disillusioned. You can't not have a Facebook. I mean, look, like, I get it. It's like, look, like, once they took my YouTube channel away, I was like, I'm never going to do this ever again. But after a couple of months, you know, I was like, you know what? I want this stuff to be out there again. It's like, what? It doesn't have the views or the comments. It's just like... And again, I could probably, I don't even need to upload the 1,000 I had, because over the last decade, other people have uploaded those songs on the channels. It's not about how many I had and this and that. It's just about like, oh, this music's not accessible. It's like I have an eBay listing going up tomorrow, and I realized like a couple of the French 45s that are going to be in the listing, I'm like, oh, they're not on YouTube anymore. So that's why I put them back up, you know. But
But it took you a couple of months.
Yeah, maybe like 2-3 months.
That's what I need. I need time. I need to.
I saw Ty, because I get worried sometimes because you get friend requests from people you know, and that's a scam into itself, because you have people who make like mimic accounts who add you pretending that their account got fucked up. Pardon me, I'm trying not to swear on the show. Their accounts that got screwed up. And it's a scam. So it's like, I find, again, it's the internet. It's still kind of a no man's land with like, you know, very minimal authority. And it's like, it sucks, but it's like, but you're an active DJ. It's like, you have to have the platform to.
I will. You can find me at Park Avenue on Instagram. That's right. I'm there.
Yes.
That's how I message people now.
Right.
I will eventually be back, but. Oh, geez. You know, just the fact that I don't have access to my Park Avenue Facebook page, because I was going to post that, you know, Dance Craze article I wrote.
Right.
10 years ago.
It
sucks.
Can't
believe it's 10 years already.
Yeah, time flies, right?
So the word of the day is disillusioned. And especially, well, you know, if you're not a Canadian, you're not, you know, privy to this, but Facebook and our Canadian government have been at war for the last few months.
Yeah, because now we're not allowed to share news articles.
Well, because basically what the Canadian government, and I think it's Law C-21 or something like that, basically, they, you know, our Canadian government want to tax, you know, those big media, you know, social media companies. And obviously, Facebook, Meta, doesn't make enough money, so they don't want to be taxed. Jeez. Can you hear the sarcasm in my voice?
Well, it just...
So Facebook, to retaliate, is blocking every post that has a news component to it.
So here in Canada, so it's like CTV, CBC, Global News, like you can't see.
But anything, even like small bloggers get blocked now.
Because that really seems like free speech.
Exactly. And the... So what you end up being able to post are cat videos and, you know, photos of your vacation. But, you know, Facebook is not a news source for Canadians anymore. So it's really
I mean, I find Facebook. Facebook's kind of been a pile of crap for a few years now, anyway.
And the thing is, it's a monopoly. So yeah, what else can you do?
It's lost its. I don't know. I find now when I leave, if I go onto Facebook and I start scrolling, after 2 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I don't know. I find people don't post anymore, and everything that comes up, it's all these things that are, you know, recommended to you. So it's all these like stupid like millennial meme pages, and I'm like, okay, like I remember, you know, this stupid thing from the 90s, like it's, but that's like every time I log on now, so it's like, ugh, like whatever, you know what, like,
so you're making my case.
The only thing I really ever use it for at this point is just the record groups. And even on the record groups, like the buying and selling groups, all it is these boomers bitching at each other about, like, these long threads about prices. And then you always get these guys that, oh, I remember in 1985 when this record was $12. And it's like, nobody fucking cares. I'm sorry, nobody cares. See, I'm trying not to swear, but...
But see, you're making my point.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not in a hurry to get a... Get back
and,
on,
and it's true. Like, you know, the point I was going to make is like, you know, oh, you needed to promote, but it's like no one's looking. That's the sad truth.
Yeah,
honestly, it would make more sense to invest more time in Instagram because people are on that way more.
I'm there. If you want to find me, I'm there.
Yeah, I barely use Facebook too. So same thing. You want to find me? Shulman the Soul Man. Are we wrapping up?
Yes.
What are we finishing off with today?
All right, so this is a perfect example of a record that was...
Hang on one sec.
Okay.
To give you your gift.
Oh, it's a gift because I was going to pay.
No, they're for you.
Okay, so...
100 blank white sleeves. They are not great quality.
I don't care.
But they're better than nothing. Them. They're very flimsy. I was very disappointed because I bought 2,000 of them. And I find...
Well, sometimes
they tear very easily.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
That's not what I was expecting.
But see, the record I'm going to play is in a nice cardboard sleeve.
Well, that means you must really care about it. And I see that it's on Verve.
It's on Verve, and I usually put a white sleeve inside.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't really matter. And
oh, sure.
The flimsy ones are going to go on the cheap records. Care less about.
You just need to sleeve them up, yeah.
So the record we're going to play for the end of the show is the perfect example of something that was on my want list for years.
Okay.
Not expensive.
Northern Soul?
Northern Soul, not expensive, cheapy one. It comes up every once in a while, but you never... You always go, I'll get the next copy. I'll get the next copy.
Oh,
because there's something else you want more.
Right.
And perfect example of something that's not common, don't see that often, not expensive, but damn good.
They still exist. There are still records like that.
So this is my description.
Very curious.
Uplifting Northern Soul Dancer. The group later became BT Express.
Hmm.
Can you name that group?
I can't.
Doesn't ring a bell, doesn't it?
Well, maybe the track will ring a bell, and I go, oh, I didn't know they became
okay,
BT Express.
Okay, so I'll give you the track and see if you know the band.
Okay.
Baby, You Satisfy Me on Verve. I'm going to hand it to you. Beautiful copy, too.
I don't know.
Wow. Here you go.
On Verve. King Davis House Rockers. Well, yeah. I have this one. Just haven't played it in forever, but I know I have it. So this group became BT Express?
That's what my research ended up finding out.
King Davis House Rockers featuring Richard Thomas. Baby, You Satisfy Me. Definitely, I own this record, and I... Could not for the life if you tell me what it sounds like, so...
It's just plain good.
Well, let's end off here. This is a fun episode. We got a lot of records in our hour and whatever. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for sticking around with us for 110 episodes. And, you know, go find Pat over on IG, Park Avenue. I'm Shulman the Soul Man.
And there's yeah. There's still the Addicted to the Needle Facebook page and Instagram.
But you can't access it, though.
You know, you, my wife, will take over.
How? Anyway, we'll discuss.
We'll talk off air.
All right, so last but not least, Baby, You Satisfy Me. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And keep on keeping on.